You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast. Your show for everything Butler basketball. Brendan King! It is the Front Row Hoopcast. I am your host, Ari Castle. I am joined by the man whose name I just screamed, Brendan King. It's been a little bit since we got together. I know I talked to the Godwin Heights head coach.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, well, it was not too bad.
I think that proved that we can actually be real journalists.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We got a good show for you today, talking about Jordan Tucker, talking about what the Bulldogs need to do to make the tournament. But we start with the place where we got our journalism started, Brendan King, the Butler Collegian. Uh-huh. There was a story yesterday that was posted by Marissa Miller. And basically the gist of it was that the Butler Way does not exist anymore. They wrote two articles. One was saying it does not exist. Another student wrote one saying that the Butler Way is alive and well. It got a lot of attention on social media. People were not happy that she posted it. Brendan, I know you texted me. You were saying you were pretty heated by it. What's your deal, man? What are you thinking?
Look, all right, first thing I'm going to say here is that, like you said, that's where you and I got our start. We worked together at the Collegian for a couple semesters at least.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of respect for what they do because the Butler Collegian has faced a lot of heat in the past maybe 4 or 5 years, so I have a lot of respect for what they do. But I thought this column of 777 words was a slap in the face to a lot of people. And I think this for many reasons, because there were only a couple of reasons that the author used to describe of why the Butler Way is dead. Two main ones was because Chris Holtman left for the money, and we got Jordan Tucker because he only wants to be a star. She also said that Butler University does not have a star on their team, which is confusing to me. We'll get to that later. But there are many reasons as to why I believe the Butler Way is alive and always will be. The first of which is that what other school can lose the best NBA coach in the business right now, have a problem with the next head coach, finish last in the Big East, then go on to make the NCAA tournament 3 times in a row, including the Sweet 16, lose that coach, and right now be in the position to make the NCAA tournament with a brand new coach, a brand new staff?
Butler is in a class by itself on that front.
It is. There are. I have two other reasons, and I'll let you get your input.
Sure.
The Butler Way has been copied in the past few years. We now know the Xavier Way exists. What's the Xavier Way? A guy getting busted for drugs? A guy getting busted at a bar for pulling his blank out? Okay, I'm sorry, but Butler has had a couple problems with players in the past. But it's always been worked on. Either the guy has been sent away, a guy that you know of, or it has been worked on privately. The Butler Way is able to recover. The Butler Way is able to recover from things that happen. The Butler Way is able to blend over things and make sure everything is okay. I was at a Butler basketball game when I was a sophomore in high school. It was the first Butler game I ever attended in person. Maybe I wasn't a sophomore, but it was in the A-10 against St. Bonaventure. Eric Fromm had just returned after his dad passed away. I saw 10,000 people stand up, give him a standing ovation for at least 2 minutes when he got on the court for the first time. And I'll tell you what, it almost brought a tear to my eye. I wasn't even a student yet. I had been accepted to Butler University. The last thing I'm going to say is that it showed this year. Gordon Hayward breaks his ankle. I'm wearing my Gordon Hayward Celtics jersey today.
It looks good on you.
After Gordon got injured, the Twitter reaction from all Butler people, I think the Butler reaction was bigger in support than a Boston Celtics reaction. Look, the Butler Way is not dead, and it never will die, because there are distinct situations that come up, whether it's a former player, whether it's a current player, or whether it's bringing in a 2-year-old kid that's sick to join as part of the team. Xavier's not doing that. I think there's a thing called the Big East Way now. People are copying it. That's a big reason as to why it will always exist.
I, Brendan King, do not disagree with the word you said. I read the column, and I didn't agree with it, but that's kind of not what I'm annoyed at. And I'm annoyed at people on Twitter. This girl, Marissa Miller, I don't know her, wrote a column, which is an opinion piece. Okay, you don't have to agree with that opinion. I certainly don't agree with the opinion she made. But for people to be attacking the Collegian saying, how dare you post this, this is trash, this is bad journalism, is utterly ridiculous. A column is supposed to make you feel something or have an emotion. You don't have to agree with it. So whether I agree with her or not, people are trashing her and trashing the Collegian for her opinion. She didn't post this article as a statement of fact. She did not post it as a consensus among Butler fans. No, it was her singular opinion. Was it a correct opinion? Not in my eyes. But again, to attack the Collegian and to attack her for posting it, I think is silly. Okay, her reasoning, people say, you know what, she didn't present her point well enough. Maybe not. But again, that's what a column is for. You don't have to agree with it. I agree with you, the Butler way is not dead. You know, and I think the tough thing for me, Brent, maybe you can help me out with this, is quantify the Butler way for me, because I'm not trying to be snarky when I say that. It's tough for me to describe, because when I see it, like, as a student at Butler, I felt like I was more, in terms of basketball, there's a level of involvement and engagement where you're not just a fan. You know these guys, and you have relationships with these people, and it's a small school, so everyone knows everyone. You're all in this together. It's that closeness, I think, that makes people, you know, genuinely want to look out for each other. But it's tough for me to describe to people who aren't Butler people, who haven't graduated and come back, what the Butler way is. I don't know if you can. Can you? I mean, that's the toughest thing for me.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think what I just said, I am disagreeing with the author's
point of view.
I am not attacking her writing. So don't.
Yes. That's what upset me on Twitter. Nope. People were attacking her writing and saying this was bad journalism.
Yeah, nope.
No.
Nobody try and misquote me on that. I'm not attacking her writing. I am attacking her opinion.
Yeah,
which I think is wrong.
That's
all right,
perfectly
okay. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I think I take this in terms of the Butler way. I was the student manager of the Butler men's soccer team for 4 years. I had the joy of winning a Big East championship with the Butler men's soccer team, the first in men's Butler history.
Yes, sir.
Pretty fun. I think that this article is only applying to basketball. In terms of saying the Butler way is dead, and going to your point, I think the Butler way stretches to all portions of campus.
Oh, 100%.
You can go, whether it's a C club worker that works in the basement of Atherton Union, whether it's a professor who's a fan of the university, or whether it's a student. I don't think it's becoming something that the university is just saying, oh, yeah, no, we got this because this started in whatever year and we went to two national championships. No, it's something that means a lot to kids, because the Butler way means that you go on the basketball court and you kick Villanova's ass, and then you go in the classroom and you kick your test's ass, and then you come out every year. I think it's the greatest thing that they do. They bring out all the athletes that made the Dean's List, or they bring out all the athletes that made the top 100. I think that's what it is. Look, kids that go to other schools, like one down south, or one out east in Ohio. I just hit my microphone. I'm using a lot of hand movements here. Kids that go to there, they don't go to sit in the classroom. They go to be stars. They go to be the popular kids on campus. The kids that go to Butler University, and I realize it's not every person. Look, there's a bad egg somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids that I interacted with on the Butler men's soccer team, the kids that I interacted with on the Butler men's basketball team, I think the guy that speaks to it all is Tyler Lewis that graduated last year. Tyler was a worker in the classroom. Tyler was, because he went and got his master's. Tyler was a worker on the court. Tyler was a worker in his personal life because he got engaged on the Hinkle floor. I think Tyler Lewis is a great example of what embodies the Butler way. A guy coming in that was recruited heavily by Chris Holtman, Kellen Dunham, all those type of guys, comes in, works his butt off, and also works his butt off in the classroom. And I think that defines the Butler way in terms of coming on the campus and embracing it as a whole and not one program.
I'll say this, and you can read between the lines in this statement. I think on the court, the Butler way exists. Like you said, you know, you can't go through four coaches in 5 years and miss a beat and not miss a beat without that. I think on the court, the Butler way exists in the Butler basketball community.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
So you don't.
I'll say this.
You're saying walking through campus.
No. I'll say this. I'm speaking just in terms of Butler basketball. That.
But I just it doesn't apply to only Butler basketball.
I know, but in this conversation that we're having right now, I'm saying throughout the campus, I'm saying specifically for Butler basketball, the Butler way is applied on the court. There have been things that have happened involving Butler basketball throughout the years that have been kept very quiet, and if they got out, it would very much tarnish the reputation of the Butler way and that Butler culture. There are some people listening right now who know exactly what I'm talking about, and there are some people who have no idea and probably think I'm making things up. But the image of Butler as, you know, the image Butler puts forward on the court and off the court is not always what, you know, is what it seems.
You're, like I just said, you're going to have a bad egg in places, but this gets me back to my original point of you're able to recover from the bads,
yes,
and turn it into the good.
That's I'm on page with you there. I agree with you there.
That's what makes this place special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at a guy here. Look at a guy like Thad Matta.
That's right.
Coached one season and leaves for our arch rival. Could you imagine all the hate that Chris Holtmann's getting? Could you imagine if social media existed back in the early 2000s? That model would have been ran out of town.
Or Barry Collier when he left for Nebraska.
Or there's a lot that applies. But that model would have been ran out of town and sent down West Hampton Drive and said, yeah, get your ass out of here. Now,
yeah.
Thad comes back. First of all, his daughter attends Butler.
Mm-hmm.
People was giving him standing ovations in Hinkle, which I think he deserves. And I don't think it's out of the question that he could become part of the coaching staff in the future.
Interesting idea. I agree with you.
But what I'm saying is that a guy like Thad leaves after one season for the arch rival, and he finds his way back 18 years later.
Yeah, that's
that
a
hits
hell of a
home.
One. It does. I like that. Brendan, we've been on this for 13 minutes. You want to move on to Jordan Tucker?
Let's do it.
Jordan Tucker transferred to Butler, Duke player. In the Butler fold, now transferred. Credit to Laval Jordan. Closed the deal, got a top 50 mm-hmm. recruit. Brendan, there's a lot of hype on Twitter about Jordan Tucker. What do you think what do you think of his game, how it would fit in to Butler?
I got to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of him, obviously, because mm-hmm. he hasn't played minutes at Duke. But I think this is step one of three in terms of the 2018 recruiting train.
Yeah.
I think getting Lamar Norman would be great. I know Marquise is doing serious work based off your great interview the other day. But I think this is step one of three. Getting Jordan to come here, I think that sets the tone for the kind of recruiter LaValle is going to be. Look, you said it. I don't know if it was on Twitter or if it was on this show of, you know, LaValle being known as the big-time recruiter, and mm-hmm. and we may have, you know, put a couple questions there. But I think this really sets the tone of step one to get a guy that's 6'7", guy that can attack the bucket and shoot. A great replacement for Keelan Martin, I hope, you know, if that ends up working out. But I think the next step now is to go out and get a transfer big man. I think that's going to be what you're going to need. Weidman leaving. I don't feel great about Nate Fowler. I don't feel great about Joey Brunk. I know their development is going to keep on getting better, but in terms of next year, I'd like to go get a fifth-year transfer big man. I think that'd be a great second step. And finally, again, if you could get Norman, I think that's big.
One thing you mentioned that, you know, Tucker didn't see the court at Duke, and maybe I'm the only one who's thinking this, but do you not think that's a little weird that a top 50 prospect... There were guys on that roster who were three-star, two-star recruits who were getting reps over him. Do you not think that's a little weird? And do you not think it's a little weird that there wasn't that much attention for him when he transferred?
There's a couple question marks, but...
That's what was one of the big things for me. Like, I've watched his high school recruiting tape, and he looked good. I think he's good, but I think the expectation people have coming in is that he's going to be like this instant NBA superstar. I don't see that.
I mean, people thought Tyler Lewis was going to come in and light up for 20 points a game.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, I know. But look, I don't think people really understand the dynamic from high school to college making that transition.
Clearly.
And
yes.
Look, the kid's what, 19?
2019, yeah, sure.
I'm sure. Well, he was a freshman, right?
Yeah.
At least 19. Look, young men come into college basketball, and no matter what they did in high school, I mean, we've seen it at Butler with kids that haven't, you know, transitioned from their high school days perfectly. Look, playing for Coach K and going down there, look, for an 18-year-old kid with a lot of hype, that's not easy in the first place. I'm going to give him time, just we gave Tyler Lewis time, just like we gave Jordan Gathers time, just like we gave all those guys time. And he's got a long way to go with a lot of time at hand. And I think the coaching staff is going to continue to get better in their own as they continue to really develop this program into their own. And I have a lot of hope for it because he is now the biggest recruit ever. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Tyler Lewis was.
Yes.
And if this sets the tone as to what's going to happen, there's a bright future there. Even if Jordan doesn't, look, I'm not saying he has to be a top 10 scorer in Butler history, but if he comes in and plays a significant role, I think that's a great success.
Well said. Brent, you want to get some housekeeping here? Just general Butler basketball stuff.
Let's do it.
We've got Keelan and Kamar, the Keelan and Kamar Show, as I've dubbed them. 22 points a game for Keelan, 21 for Kamar.
Hooping.
I know. Really well. Kamar has come out of nowhere. He's shooting 42% from three in conference play, 7 rebounds a game, 3 assists. Look, he's might be our best player on the team right now with Keelan's inconsistency.
If you're going to tell me that after the first 7 games, I don't know if I'd believe you. I mean, he has really figured out, and I don't know if that's being, you know, having really good practices. I don't know if the coaching staff sat him down and pulled a Nick Foles and said, hey, just be Kamar, and or something along those lines. But, hey, whatever has worked over the past 2 or 3 months, keep on rolling because I'm not going to say you're in a hole right now, but you're in a position where you're going to need these next 3. Then you got Xavier and Villanova after that. I think they can beat Xavier at home.
It's tough, but
I think they can. The way that they shoot at Hinkle is great, and I'll tell you what, Xavier hasn't been looking.
They looked really good last night against Marquette.
They looked good last night, but they've been a little inconsistent at times.
As is Butler, but I agree. On a good day, Butler can win.
And look, you're in this conference where anybody can win on a given night. If you get that Xavier win at home, I'm feeling really good about February and hopefully into March.
I've been waiting all day for this next topic, Brendan King. Paul Jorgensen, 11 points per game in the Big East. And if you recall back to the first episode of the Hoopcast, I said, I bet you Paul Jorgensen's shooting percentage is going to go down to like 38% when it gets to conference play. Well, you know what he's shooting from the field in conference play? 38%, 29% from three. It's almost as if I predicted it. It's almost as if I predicted he would struggle. And I was bastard on Twitter, insulted, saying I was an idiot, that Paul Jorgensen was the second coming of Jimmy Chitwood. Well, don't I look silly now, Brendan King? What do you say to that?
I never told you anything.
But you, is Paul Jorgensen not shown that he is coming back down to earth, as I predicted?
You got a long way to go this year. You are in January. Look, as John Rothstein always says, this is only January or this is only February. Look, kid's got a long way to go. And again, like we talked about in the last episode, Aaron Thompson being on the floor with him is hurting him.
Maybe.
It is.
Yeah, okay. I could buy into
that
argument.
Look, when I drew it up just like this last time. If Thompson's here on the corner, the center that is guarding him
stands in the paint. I'm aware.
Look, as I said in the last episode, the offense just doesn't work that way. Even though that Thompson on the floor is beneficial at times, Jorgensen is suffering from that defensive scheme played by other teams.
I just couldn't resist getting a shot at him.
I had to do it.
Matt, we really went off there the first segment about the Butler way, but I think it was good to talk about because Butler fans
I thought it was good to talk about too. So, looking at the rest of the schedule here.
Yeah.
You got St. John's, who has not won a game in the Big East yet.
Uh-huh. I feel like that's a recipe for an upset.
You're going to need it. It's at home.
I'm
Marquette
there.
On the road.
Well, here's my question, Brendan. What does Butler need to finish in conference to make the tournament?
Talking to unnamed sources that are close to the team, they said they feel comfortable if you finish 9-9.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to name the source, but they feel comfortable about it. And that's fully doable. I think if you're going to need these next 3. Marquette on the road is going to be tough. Historically, Butler hasn't played great at Marquette for some reason. at the BMO Harris Center. And then St. John's and DePaul at home, got to have them. I think they can contend with Xavier at home. Nova's going to be really tough on the road, even though they're not playing in the Pavilion this year. That can be an advantage. The Pavilion is a tough place to play. That Georgetown-Providence at home, and you welcome in the Creighton Blue Jays, whose best player just tore his ACL.
If Butler wins the games they're supposed to win, which I think you're saying, they should make the tournament. I think an NIT bid would... I don't know if I'd be disappointed. Like, you know, we didn't have really high expectations coming into the season, but after beating Nova, I think, you know, Butler fans want to taste that tournament.
Well, last time I checked, Lenardi had them as a 9.
I think they were 11 right now. It's like
Came out, they were 9.
Oh, all right.
We'll see. And I do think an NIT would be a disappointment just based off some of the wins you've had this year.
Yeah.
That Ohio State win
is looking better and better.
That's going to be really good. Hopefully the Princeton win will continue to look better. And I'll tell you what, Maryland's not playing very good ball either. That can end up not looking too good. So we'll see. But, you know, who's got to step up?
For Butler-wise?
Yeah.
I think Nate Fowler. I think he's been playing well recently, scoring better, rebounding better. I think that if he continues to we feed him down low in the post and he gets those easy paint touches, it really spreads the sucks in the defense, so we can get some more threes. I think he's quietly a very important player for Butler.
I think one thing that has shown here in the past few is that Keelan Martin cannot get cold or in foul trouble.
Yeah, he's been inconsistent.
The fouls, how many times? I mean, there's been maybe 3 occasions this year where he's gotten 2 fouls in the first 7 minutes or so, and LaValle has had to sit him and figure out the offensive scheme. So I think it's really shown. It's not going to be like last year where you can just bench him and it'll work, because you don't have Keaton Savage, you don't have Avery Woodson, you don't have Tyler Lewis. So Keelan has really got to be aware of the fouls, and he's got to really watch the ticky-tack fouls. There's been a couple occasions this year where he's picked up one in the first 30 seconds. That has kind of just been a reach-in. So he's got to contain himself a little bit and be prepared, because you got some big games coming up.
Hot takes only on this show, BK. Liked it.
Always.
My girlfriend asks, she listens to the podcast, she goes, why do you guys always end the show, I say, IU sucks, go Dogs, as a question? And I said, I never really noticed that, but I noticed we do, and I'm going to continue that tradition today by saying, Brendan, IU sucks, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.